When all is ready, I throw this switch.
Ho, ho, hello, everyone, and welcome to The Collected Edition, a comic book podcast where we discuss the naughty and the nice runs and story arcs throughout the history of comics. I'm Paul Chris Kringle Carr, and I'm jingling my bells on my bobtail. And with me, as always, he's making a list, and you better believe he's checking it twice. It's Brian Reith. What's up, Brian?
You kind of ruined my ho-ho-ho. Am I allowed to ho this week?
You can ho all you like.
All right. Excellent. I was scolded for over-hoeing last week, or the last podcast.
Now, so. I apologize. I ho-blocked you.
So hopefully it's safe for me to just go ho crazy.
Whole ho. Go.
I mean, I'm going to be hoeing this whole week.
Indeed. Okay.
As possibly with some butt leggers.
We'll get into butt legging soon enough. Well, welcome, everybody. Today on the program, it is our festive holiday extravaganza, and we will be discussing a fine comic from 1979, The Brave and the Bold, How the Mob Stole Christmas, which should be a lot of fun to discuss.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
But first, as always, as is tradition on this fine, fine podcast, we will be giving our lists of our favorite comics of the year. So, Brian, we always narrow this list down to five. So what are your 12 comics?
Because I can never keep it to five.
That's right.
Even in a year in which the comics weren't necessarily overwhelming, I always feel bad because I'm leaving something out. I'm going to start with two quick things, and they don't need to be discussed in depth unless you want to.
No. So let's do our honorable. I have some honorable mentions as well. So
right. I have honorable mentions, and I also have the most disappointing.
Ooh, okay. So,
and I did this once before with another comic several years ago. So yeah. Do you want me to just lead with that and we could get that out of the way?
Yeah. Well, let's just do it. Yeah. You do your honorable mentions. I'll do mine. And then we'll do the back and forth. 5-5-4-4. Okay. So go.
All right. My honorable mention for most disappointing comic is Daredevil.
Ooh, unexpected.
Which is one of my favorite comics of all time. Mm-hmm. And this has gone for 16 issues with the same stinking plot line. Daredevil used to have the greatest writers and some of the most interesting plot lines ever. And we have been mired down in 16 issues covering the same topic. And it's gone on forever. As a Daredevil fan, my entitlement is strong. And so I'm having sads about how awfully dragging this comic has become.
Wow. Not my
So Daredevil. That's my most disappointing comic.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so at the risk of being comics gate adjacent, whew, it's been bad. That out of the way. So my honorable mentions, I call it bubbling under. So I'm just going to run through these real quick.
Okay.
So the absolute titles, Batman, Wonder Woman, Superman, have been pretty great so far. Wonder Woman's been my favorite, although Batman has had the best art because Nick Dragotta is awesome. But it's too soon. It's way too soon. And that goes with all of the DC All-In stuff. They just dropped all these in the last 2 months. Every comic has one or two issues in the can, so we can't really judge it. But I have been really enjoying what DC is trying to do right now, which they haven't done in a while. So they've introduced a slew of new comics, JSA, the Mark Waid Justice League. And so some of the stuff is really fun. It's really interesting. It feels like it's going back to some of the stuff I loved about DC. But it's too soon to tell. I can't make a judgment. I can't even make a judgment on the absolute titles. I think Wonder Woman is the best written. I think Absolute Batman is the prettiest or the best looking.
On my honorable mention list, Absolute Wonder Woman is actually on there too.
Yeah.
But at the time of this recording, there's only two issues out. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's too soon to tell.
Yeah.
I also include the X books, some of them, especially the two main titles. I've been rejoining X-Men, as we've talked about. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the two Uncanny and regular X-Men have been a lot of fun. Too soon to tell. The Space Ghost Johnny Quest series from Dynamite have been absolutely out of this world. Are they good? Probably not. Do they
Yes,
hit?
they are good. I was debating whether putting Space Ghost on my best of list. I was kind of teetering on the edge. I chose not to, but yes, they are good. Haven't read Johnny Quest, but Space Ghost, really good.
Have they hit all of my favorite spots on the doll? Yes, they have.
On Where did Space Ghost touch
In very good places.
Okay.
And finally, I want to send a shout out to FML, the Kelly Sue DeConnick,
Oh yeah.
a comic which is only 2 issues in, so too early, but it's Kelly Sue DeConnick,
Yeah.
and it mirrors my number two pick for the best of the year. I don't want to say too much, but Kelly Sue DeConnick is back, and she has a great new comic book out, but that's only 2 issues in. These are my bubbling unders. There we are.
Okay. Well, I have a few bubbling unders. You've already hit two of them, which are Absolute Wonder Woman and Space Ghost. I have only one issue, but I guess maybe it's a series that I'm eagerly looking forward to, which is New Gods by Rom V. Only one issue so far, but I'm looking forward to great things.
Yes. Yeah, that first issue is fun.
Isn't it? And it looks
Yeah.
great. Oh, yeah. And then my other honorable mention, and this is a series that has been running for a couple of years now, but I've just been loving it so much. It's the Fantastic Four by Ryan North.
Yes.
And yeah, it's just Fantastic Four was one of my favorite childhood comics. I have very fond memory of Fantastic Four when I was little.
Right.
Recently, they've been good. There's been some great runs, Fraction and Hickman
Right.
and others. It's been good, but it's been very, I don't know,
Hit and miss.
hit and miss by the numbers. In the case of Hickman, very clinical. But this Ryan North, it's bring back the joy to the Fantastic Four.
And the fact that he's doing it in one and two story, like 1 and 2 issue story arcs, it's been so fun. And I haven't enjoyed the Fantastic Four as much as I have recently in a long time.
That's exactly how I've been feeling. It's just been fun. And then the last thing I'll have is for the first time, I enjoyed a crossover. I enjoyed the Blood Hunt
Oh, right.
crossover.
Well, that's right in your wheelhouse.
It is. It didn't end as well as I wanted it to, but hey, it's fine. It was good. I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. I didn't read all of the crossovers. I just read them pretty much just the main line. But I enjoyed it. It was good. Not enough to get on my main list. And speaking of our main list, Brian, why don't you start with your number five?
Rare flavors, Rom V and Felipe Andrade.
I'm shocked. Shocked, I say.
Shocked.
I intentionally left that off my list because I knew it would be represented by you.
Right. It just when Rom V and Felipe Andrade do their Boom comics, obviously this is their second series. The first one was our unanimous comic of the year
Yes, absolutely.
a few years ago with Layla. It's just beautiful to look at. It's so steeped in Indian mythology and culture, and the fact that there are recipes.
Yeah, and food, I was going to say, and lots of food.
And lots of food, but it tackles sort of who we are as humans and who we are in relation with our mythology and our gods, whatever our gods are, even if we're not religious. And Rare Flavors does this. Rom V is just so good at what he does when he tackles this subject matter. It just amazes me every time. And this is a beautiful, beautiful, visually stunning tribute to the food of a nation.
Absolutely. And it was a lot of fun to read. I enjoyed it as well. Okay, so my number five, Batman First Night by Dan Jurgens and Mike Perkins. It's only a 3-issue little mini series, but it's not really a reimagining. It's part of a going back to the third. It's set in the 30s and it's kind of a noir Batman detective. And it's a beautiful book to look at and it's just fun. I just
Mike
I
Perkins is amazing.
yeah. It has that kind of sepia tone nostalgia to it. And yeah, I just
Yeah.
really enjoyed it. And it was a little noir detective story with Batman. Nothing more than that. It was just a lot of fun.
And you have an old school guy, Dan Jurgens, and
Yeah.
then you have and again, Mike Perkins. DC uses him well because they also use him on Swamp Thing stuff, and he's perfect for it.
Yeah, beautiful stuff. What's your number four?
Is a twofer.
My number four is a twofer as well. That's neat.
Oh, hey.
That's neat, but you do yours first.
Just wait till we get to three. My number four is a twofer, and it makes sense. I promise. It's The Outsiders, written by Jackson Lansing and Colin Kelly, illustrated by Robert Carey, and Jenny Sparks, written by Tom King, illustrated by Jeff Spokes. The reason these are both together is because they're both, it's Wildstorm.
Okay.
Outsiders, I mean, it's Planetary, it's Stormwatch, it's Authority, it's all of these things collapsed together. It's DC bringing back this incredible run that Wildstorm did when they were taken over by DC, and we had again Planetary, particularly Planetary, Stormwatch, and Authority. These were great comics. These were kind of outside of the mainstream in some of the 90s, sort of horrible art and big boobs and whatever. Both of these comics have served to bring back concepts, big universal concepts, into the DC universe.
Yes, and we know that James Gunn will be adapting The Authority in
Right.
live action, so yeah.
So both of these comics have done a really good job of reintegrating some of these ideas, various things back into the DC universe. And I think both of them, Jenny Sparks has, I think, one more issue to go. The Outsiders is done, of course, canceled too early because who wants to read interesting comics when they can just have. All right, I'll leave the editorial aside. Both of these comics I put together in one because they both are of a piece in some ways, even though I don't think the authors and artists collaborated to do this. Somewhere in editorial, someone said, "Let's go ahead and introduce these Wildstorm characters back into the universe."
Okay, excellent. So my number four is Universal Monsters. So Image is doing a reimagining of the Universal Monsters. I did Dracula last year, but this year we had Creature from the Black Lagoon and Frankenstein. Frankenstein is still running. Creature from the Black Lagoon is Dan Waters and Rom V with art
Yes.
by Matthew Roberts and Dave Stewart. And that one was probably my favorite because it was sort of a sequel. So all the others have been reimaginings of the actual movies from the 1930s and 40s. This one is sort of a sequel to The Creature from the Black Lagoon, which involves a serial killer and body horror, and it's all kinds of good stuff. And then Frankenstein is it is the movie Frankenstein, but it's told from a different there's a different character watching everything, so you get a different perspective on everything. And it's
Oh, interesting.
really interesting. And that's Michael Walsh and Tony Marie Griffin. Anyway, I love those movies. I've
These
said
are
it
Paul
before.
comics.
Yeah,
These are
these.
such Paul comics.
Yeah, I mean, I love those movies. They're comfort food for me. And then the and these are just sort of, and here, have some extra sweets. So I just love them. Anyway, what's your number three?
So we have 3, 3.5, and 3.75. There's a
Okay.
reason for this. It will be obvious as I list the three. So 3 is Zatanna, Bring Down the House by Mariko Tamaki and Javier Rodriguez. 3.5 is Minor Arcana by Jeff Lemire. And 3.75 is The Power Fantasy by Kieran Gillen and Casper Wingard. Do you see a theme here?
Yes, just so you know, my number three is Minor Arcana by Jeff Lemire.
All right.
So I concur with that one at least.
I feel like this pick is very magical.
It is.
Oh, Zatanna is one of the greatest characters in DC, period. She's great. Bring Down the House is fun. It's like, what, 5 or 6 issues? It's a black label. Javier Rodriguez has been one of the great artists in comics for the past 10 plus years. And it's just, is it important? No, but it is really fun and it's beautiful to look at. And Zatanna getting brought back into the universe as, and I think she's getting another series with another great creator. I think it's Jason Campbell, maybe. I can't remember exactly. But again, these are my favorites. These, I'm not saying this is the best. The Power Fantasy is Kieran Gillen, whatever, doing what he does, which is kind of creating these deep, really philosophical concepts of magic and archetype. And it's just, it's him doing what he does, but it's also, it is different from the Wicked and Divine, right? It's different from Journey into Mystery. It's different from the other stuff he does. And
Yeah.
so
Well, he
I
did
am,
die. He did die too, right?
he did die, right?
Yeah, okay.
Which,
Yeah.
so I have tried to tell my gaming friends, I'm not a gamer, But I've tried to tell my gaming friends, even at work. I have a group of folks at work who do a D&D session once a week during lunch. I'm like, you gotta read Die.
Yeah, it was great.
I'm
It
not
was
a
awesome.
gamer, and I'm just like, this is astonishing.
Absolutely. So.
So it's he's right back into it. It's great to have him back. I am fascinated to see where he takes this, because this is all about morals and ethics. And again, this isn't an easy comic, but wow, it is very interesting. I'm not going to talk about Minor Arcana because I want you to do that as your number three.
Yeah, I'll just do that briefly. Minor Arcana is Jeff Lemire, and it's him, I think, at his best. He's got this the magical world, but it's all based in this personal, family stuff that's going on. No, he just makes it so incredibly, I don't want to say real, but I guess he just adds a personal touch to his
Right.
comics. And when Jeff Lemire is on at his best, this is what he's doing.
So from what I've read is this is extremely personal.
Well, yeah, it seems like he used to do those autobiography
Well,
auto.
with Essex County was also,
Exactly. That's what I was going to bring up. Essex County, this autobiographical stories, and he's sort of doing that with some magic divination mixed around it. And his art is great. I love that he has an indie feel, but it's so polished now, and it's very good.
It's really promising. We're 4 issues in. That was enough for me to recommend this.
I was sold on 2 issues. I was like, okay, this is it. I'm in. So what's your number two?
Talk about very personal comics. It's Grommets by Rick
Yes.
Remender and Brian Posehn with absolute perfect art by Brett Parsons. This is my childhood. Rick Remender with Deadly Class and so many of the other comics he's done. And he had other great comics this year, Sacrificers. I forget the name of the other one. I mean, Rick Remender has been one of the most consistently great creators. I think if he's not exactly my age, he's off by a year or two. And Grommets is, it's the 80s. It's 80s skater culture in California. Now, I wasn't a skater in California, but every situ and the Brian Posehn is the Brian Posehn, of course, is a hero to many people outside of comics. It hits every single aspect of my childhood, of my teenage years. In a way, even Deadly Class didn't. And the art, Brett Parson is, I mean, he's right out of like Minimum Wage and Stray Bullets and all of those great indie comics of the time.
Cool. You have recommended this to me a couple of times, and I apologize, I have not read it yet, but I will get on it.
It's just, it starts off, it's hilarious, and then it gets really, really, really dark. In a way that people of a certain age growing up in the 80s who were kind of marginalized or not part of like certain popular cultures will see, and they will see themselves in this, maybe not in some of the really harsh stuff that happens, but they will see themselves in the potential of it. And it just, I could recommend 5 Rick Remender comics every year as my favorites, but I'm sticking with this one this year. It just makes me happy.
Okay, good to know. So my number two is Final Cut by Charles Burns.
Oh, wow. Awesome pick.
Yeah, I something about this just really, really struck me. I mean, first of all, the art is beautiful.
Speaking of old school indie comics.
Yes. And that has, yeah, it's just really beautiful. And it's about a young kid who's trying to make little his own little films, his own little sci-fi films, and he's trying to get the pretty girl to star in it with him. And it's just the way Charles Burns writes. It's very surreal because you start to see a blend of like his imagination. Is this really happening, or is this just something he's imagining? But he has such care and love for these characters. He's not mean to them. He has such sympathy for for adolescents. And it's just about the power of creativity. I loved it.
So Charles Burns has this great sort of aspect visually. I don't know if he does that in this comic. I haven't read this one.
It's him
There's
in
a
the wood.
grotesque nature to him.
Right. Like a few years ago he did one called The Black Hole. Yeah, and it's similar art to that. Not as grotesque as The Black Hole, but yeah, it's beautiful. I highly, highly recommend it. So what's your number one,
And in
sir?
black and white, as usual.
No,
Okay.
it's not in that's not in black and white. There is color to this one.
Oh, he added color. Interesting.
It's really muted colors, you know, kind of washed out.
Okay. Well, my number one is probably astonishingly unsurprising to anybody who has ever paid attention. Shocking nobody anywhere. John Constantine, Hellblazer, Dead in America by Simon
Wow,
Spurrier.
did not see that coming.
Yeah, no, of course we didn't. nudge, nudge, wink, wink. So many great writers on Hellblazer over the years. And Simon Spurrier absolutely deserves to be amongst the greatest. The series just ended with the final issue, did everything right in every way, shape, or form when it comes to John Constantine, Hellblazer, the Vertigo years. It is the perfect ending, possibly the perfect continuation. When DC put John Constantine back into the DC universe, when they ended Vertigo, when they ended there was no Black Label, they just dumped Constantine into the DC universe. Some writers wrote him well, some writers didn't, but he lost the edge that made him interesting. And what Simon Spurrier and Aaron Campbell, the two of these creators, and I can't separate them, have done miraculous work. This series, of course, brought in Swamp Thing and it brought in Sandman, and it also brought in Death at the end and treated all of this perfectly. Dead in America, it's a road trip comic with Constantine returning to the States, but this is the defining John Constantine in America and exploring the mythos of America as a British man, written by British writers, looking at America in a way that American writers don't get because it's a different perspective. It's just perfection. It's one of the best comics I've read in the last 10 years.
I'm so glad that Spurrier was allowed to come back and finish off
Yes.
his story because, you know, his previous run was fantastic, canceled too soon. So the DC allowed him to come back and finish this off in style. Good stuff. My number one is Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees,
Ah.
by Patrick Horvath. The best way I've heard this comic described is Richard Scarry's Busy Town meets Dexter. Because it's a fantasy world of all these happy talking animals living in this cute little town. But one of them's a serial killer with one rule: never kill locals. She always has to go to the big city to kill, but then someone else starts killing people in town, and she has to, and the main character has to, who's a little bear, has to figure out who this new killer is so that she doesn't get found out herself. And it's really disturbing, but it's so cute as well. Yeah, no, it's a disturbing little horror story about serial killers, but they're all fuzzy little animals.
Nice.
Yes.
It sounds like other comics that I thought about, like Feral and
Right.
Uncanny Valley. Yeah, deal with probably in very different ways. But I haven't read it. I'm curious.
Yeah.
It's your number one recommendation, which means I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, you know, it's like I said, you look at it and you think like, oh, this is a cute little kid. Oh no, this is not a kid's story. Anyway, it's I don't want to say it's a fun story, but it made my little horror heart happy. Okay, well that is it, ladies and gentlemen. That is the best definitive list of comics, the best comics of 2024.
Yeah.
I'll be sure to put all of those in the show notes of this episode so that you can make a list and check it twice and go out and find yourself some presents for the new year. So that being said, let's take a break and we'll come back and give the listeners a gift that we'll keep on giving.
We're back. Paul, you have recommended our very special Christmas holiday comic book for our very special Christmas holiday podcast. Would you like to tell us about this comic book we're about to talk about?
I sure will. Christmas time, the most wonderful time of the year. And nothing describes the spirit of Christmas more than those two little words, retail shopping. That's right, nothing epitomizes the holiday season more than an audacious display of consumer consumption. And if the display were to not be there or disappear for some reason, well, what's the point of even having Christmas at all? This is the dilemma found in The Brave and the Bold, number 148. In this nightmare scenario, written by Bob Haney and drawn by Joe Staton and Jim Aparo, we find Batman cruising through downtown Gotham, casually window shopping, after participating in that totally legitimate policing procedure, intimidating and threatening suspects. Batman has taken a quick break from investigating the robbery of that other staple of Christmas joy, fine tobacco products, when he discovers a despondent plastic man working at as a discount Santa in front of Lacey's department store. After some words of encouragement, Batman leaves. But when he returns, the entire holiday display is gone, including Plastic Man himself. Batman then sets off on an investigation to track down the missing decorations, one that will lead him through the dark streets of Gotham to the epicenter of crime and villainy itself, Florida. A journey that will include fisticuffs, elongating body parts, a teeny tiny helicopter, and a Christmas tree crucifixion. And in the end, Batman and Plastic Man will team up to take down a smuggling ring as they discover the real meaning of Christmas is the friends we made along the way. And the decorations. and the gifts. Lots and lots of gifts. The Night the Mob Stole Christmas is not a serious story. It's about as goofy as it gets, written at a time when comics were not afraid to just be silly. These are colorful characters involved in wild and wacky hijinks with the sole intention of making you smile. And really, what more could you want for Christmas? Brian, I think you liked this story. What do you think, though?
I loved it.
Oh, 1979.
1979. One of the best things about this comic, by the way, and we're not going to tell you necessarily how we read this comic, but we can tell you that the ads are all there.
Yes. Well, we can say we're reading a scan of this comic, and the ads are all there, one of which is coming soon, Superman the movie.
Yes!
That's awesome.
One of my favorite things was like, oh my God, there's like numerous ads for Superman the movie starring
Gene Hackman and Marlon Brando is what it says.
Yeah. With special guest Christopher Reeve.
Exactly.
Still, until we find out in July or whatever, the greatest Superman movie ever made. That's awesome. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get all the ads. We also get a BB gun rifles. And it's just, this is comics. This is Christmas.
Oh my goodness. Yes. It's so much fun. I mean, it starts out with Batman and Commissioner Gordon investigating the robbery of a truck full of cigarettes.
Right. This is great. I mean, this happens now, right? It's they're stealing cigarettes or they're buying cigarettes. So it's the mob. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that this is about Batman actually solving crime as opposed to fighting supervillains. There's no supervillains in this.
No, absolutely not.
This is true Batman street level detective crime solving.
Who would have thought that 1979 goofy comic actually has Batman being a detective?
Right. So there's these mobsters who are buying cigarettes down south at a cheaper price and bringing the cigarettes up to Gotham, Chicago, and putting fake tax labels on it and then selling them to retailers. So the city of Gotham is losing millions of dollars in tax money because of this. What do Commissioner Gordon and Batman refer to these mobsters as?
They call them buttleggers. B-U-T-T, leggers.
Thank you, comics, for giving me the phrase buttleggers.
It's a buttlegger war, actually.
It's a buttlegger war.
Yes, it's so... Thank you. Thank you, DC. Yeah, so Batman goes around and roughs up some people. Like I said, totally legitimate.
This is two or three days before Christmas, and this is important to the plot. Yeah. The plot, as it were.
And I just love the fact Batman, totally just prime time, driving around in the Batmobile through downtown Gotham.
His convertible Batmobile.
While it's snowing.
Mm-hmm.
It's snowing and he's got the top down.
He's Batman.
And, you know, he's just kind of cruising around and looking at all the decorations and whatnot. And a little dumbass kid is juggling, throws his balls out in the middle of the street.
juggling 3 days before Christmas in the middle of the street.
Suddenly, this little Santa Claus sees the kid and an arm stretches out and pulls him out of danger. It's Plastic Man. Plastic Man is apparently down on his luck or lost his mojo. What's going on with him?
As per usual. This actually does do a running theme with Plastic Man, which is revisited in a recent Plastic Man series. Man, is he a criminal? Is he a superhero? Is he a joke?
I think D, all of the above.
Right.
Yes. So Batman feels a little sorry for him, but doesn't really help.
Well, Batman's just sort of like, well, it's sad to see that Plastic Man is depressed.
Sorry to see you're upset. Bye. So Batman goes off and does his little investigating. And when he comes back to that area, everything's gone, Brian.
All of the Christmas decorations at Lacey's.
Lacey's with an L.
Right. Lacey's department store, which is the biggest department store in Gotham and has the biggest Christmas display. Right. So Christmas can't happen if Lacey's department store Christmas decorations are no longer there.
Yeah. What's the point of Christmas?
What's the point of Christmas? Nobody else in the entire city of Gotham has Christmas decorations.
That's right. So Christmas is done. Batman has to save Christmas. He finds a handy dandy little clue.
written in the snow.
Written in the snow. Good thing it didn't get trampled or anything. Apparently, well, first of all, before we find that out, Batman has to open up the trunk of his car and pull out a helicopter.
It's the whirly bat.
The whirly bat. Yes, he starts flying around in his tiny little helicopter.
In the snow.
In the snow. He finds a caravan of moving trucks, which are actually the mobsters who have stolen all the... Okay, I'm going to say something, Brian, that's going to sound perfectly sane. A mob has stolen Lacey's Christmas display to drive to Florida for a mobster's party.
Yes. I would like to interrupt. So there's this comic also has some great lines. At the beginning of this, we have Jim Gordon saying, "The buttlegger war is heating up." And then we have Batman saying, "This buttlegging is bad." This is all preamble to Batman heading off to Florida. I really want buttlegging to be a large part of this. So anyway, carry on, Paul.
Well, so we find out that the mob has stolen Lacey's Christmas display to drive to Florida. And of course, Plastic Man is posing as Santa Claus, working as Santa Claus out in front of this display, and he gets stolen too.
Right. He literally gets knocked out with a sap.
Yes, he does. But right before he loses consciousness, he's able to stretch out his arm and put a little code in the snow so that gives Batman a clue of where to go. And by the way, also in this display, live reindeer.
Live reindeer, yeah. ASPCA is perfectly on board with all of this.
Yes, I see nothing wrong with it. Yes, we have Batman chasing down this caravan. He finds Plastic Man and attempts to fight the mobsters. This is actually a good sequence of Batman fighting.
Remember, it's Joe Staton and Jim Aparo. Jim Aparo being one of the great and most important Batman artists.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so it's a neat little action sequence, and it looks pretty great. No notes. But Batman gets dumped into a vat of oil, or whatever this thing is, which is filling up, and it looks like Batman is not going to make it, Brian.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
This is it. This is the one. This is where it happens, right? This is where Batman dies.
Absolutely. And it's over. There is no Christmas. Yeah. There is no Batman. But wait. A long, very large hand comes winding down and lifts him to safety. And then Plastic Man hoses Batman down and runs him through a car wash.
This is one of my favorite sequences. And it's great physical comedy.
Yeah.
Visually, this is great physical comedy. It's like, he's literally like, it's the, when you're in a car wash and you have those like giant scrubby things that come along your car. And so Plastic Man is literally running Batman himself through that. Visually, it's amazing. It's so great.
Indeed. So then they figure out that, you know, they know that the Hat Rack gang, they are heading down to Florida. Batman says in very bold letters, "Plastic Man, you did it again. Let's start highballing ourselves to the Sunshine State."
And again, one of my favorite lines, "Let's start highballing."
Is highball a word?
Someone who is very attuned to trucking culture, trucking music, all of that stuff, which is a obsession with mine. The fact that Batman is like, let's start highballing. Like, I actually in my notes starred this.
So they get down to Conch Key in Florida, and Batman and Plastic Man sneak up underwater. Absolutely awesome. Batman, of course, has scuba gear. He has his bat scuba gear.
He has bat gear, bat scuba gear.
And Plastic Man just elongates his nose up to the top of the water. And he's still in his Santa suit. So they sneak up on everybody. And one of the most bizarre panels, I think, Plastic Man stretches out his ear so that he can listen to the mob, but then also
Right.
stretches it out in another way so that Batman can hear. He turns his ear into like a gramophone horn so that Batman can
Yes.
hear. It's really bizarre, Brian.
The art of, but Paul, again, just to go back and then we could talk about this later, but the art in this is so good.
Yes, it
The
is.
story is so absurd, and the art is absolutely transcendent in matching the absurdity of the story.
Yes, indeed. So now we get to what's actually happening here, and that one of the lead mobsters, Big Jake,
Big Jake.
is on his deathbed and wants just a big Christmas party send off.
Right, and Big Jake is a buttlegger.
He's the lead buttlegger.
He's the
He
head buttlegger.
likes big buttleggers, and I'll tell you why.
And the other people who are gathering on this island are sub buttleggers.
Also, they don't want creeps muscling in on their butt smuggling.
It's butt smuggling needs to be approved. It needs to be controlled.
Absolutely.
It needs to be butt smuggling needs to be dominated from the top down to the subs.
So anyway,
PG-13.
Batman and Plastic Man actually get captured.
It's fascinating to me, but Batman will fight like 500 ninjas and take them out. But if one gangster holds a gun on him, then suddenly he gets captured.
And he has a dog. That's a mean dog, Brian.
Right.
So, what's he going to do about that?
Yeah.
So Batman gets hung up in a crucifixion kind of pose.
He's
I guess the
a giant Christmas tree.
he's tied to a
So this
Christmas
is all
tree.
the decorations that they stole from Lacey's. They brought to this island so that Big Jake can have a big Christmas party.
Just throwing it out there. They didn't think to pull his mask off.
It is well known that you can't remove Batman's mask because it's booby-trapped. And they would automatically know that because they're on social media in 1979.
Yes, they all had zines that they got
Right.
sent to each other. So it's a world-class shindig,
It is.
and that creep Batman is a Christmas tree decoration.
Yes. I myself have had a Batman ornament on my tree. I just want to put that out there.
Plastic Man in still dressed as Santa Claus says, "Now, pals, here's a surprise gift for my new partners in the butt leg and dodge. Yank it, Kris Kringle." What? Yes, but it's very fun. Plastic Man comes up. So what we find out is that Big Jake isn't really sick. He's not on his deathbed. He just wanted to get all his rivals in the butt smuggling capers into one place so that he can mow them all down.
He can butt them out.
He can butt them out. So everyone just starts opening fire with little machine guns. But this is actually kind of fun. Plastic Man, he stretches himself out into a big old giant trampoline, I guess,
Right.
and
Yeah, it's classic.
stops all the gun. It's classic Plastic Man.
He's saving lives.
Plastic Man saves lives, and Batman is freed. A big action scene commences. There's guns a shooting, there's Batman a punching, and then so a helicopter goes over is for the party is
Not
dropping.
the world, not the whirly bat.
Not the Whirly Bat, an actual helicopter, part of Big Jake's party, is dropping snowflakes so that he can have a fake snow, basically. Plastic Man has a wonderful idea where he turns his head into a funnel and collects all this is, I mean, this is perfectly normal.
Yeah.
He turns his head into a funnel, collects all the snowflakes, and then shoots them out through another funnel in his mouth and basically just engulfs.
Freezes all the bad
He
guys.
freezes all the bad guys and he engulfs them all in this fake snow. All the mobsters are then made to reload the whole display onto the trucks and drive them back to Gotham in time for Christmas, thus saving Christmas.
Batman and Plastic Man save the day. And then it just ends with like Christmas in Gotham is saved.
And thank God everyone can have cigarettes.
Yes. So the buttleggers are defeated. Gotham gets its tax dollars from cigarette sales.
Well, I mean, it ends off this ends off with the mayor talking to Batman, the mayor of Gotham, saying, "Batman, it's a miracle. You crack the buttlegging ring and you and you save the city's Christmas."
I would like to point out Batman is useless in this.
Oh, he has some punchiness.
But who is the one that saves the day constantly?
Of course, it's Plastic Man.
It's Plastic Man, and there's your Christmas gift.
And then he just it's this really bizarre looking, actually. He stretches his arm out and then writes in cursive, "Merry Xmas," and he waves. It is really fun. There's not much to talk about other than just the bizarre premise of this whole thing.
Cigarette smugglers that Batman's supposed to try to like capture, but he's busy Christmas shopping.
Yeah, so a depressed Plastic Man gets kidnapped along with a retail display that is taken to Florida for a mobster's Christmas party who is really trying to assassinate all of his rivals.
So he can continue with the butt.
Yeah, so he can be the
He can keep
biggest butt
selling butt.
smuggler.
He can keep selling his butt.
Yes. And Batman just wants to crack the case.
But it feels like he takes up the rear in this.
He really does. It ends up being Plastic Man who's cheeky. I know we're not really tackling this in depth. There's not a lot of
There's nothing in depth to this.
yeah, there's nothing
It
philosophical.
is absolutely goofy and nonsensical and so much fun. If you love comics, seriously, if you have any love for the medium and for the joy that comics can bring that's not the serious stuff that we all tackle these days. And, Paul and I, Collected Edition, tackles serious comics and important comics. But remember, I mean, comics, there was a website, something I can't remember. I haven't looked at it in a long time, but there was some website called Comics Should Be Fun.
Yeah, I remember that. It was great.
And maybe it still exists, and my apologies to the folks who run it if I'm referencing them without giving a link or whatever. But at the end of the day, comics should be fun.
Absolutely.
What we do every year at Christmas is we try to like find the comics that should be fun. This is so much fun. We're not really doing it justice. Visually, it's amazing. It's dumb. It's stupid. There's a whirly bat. It's just. It's Batman riding around in a one-man mini helicopter in the snow. That's comics. It's so awesome. And it's a Christmas gift to us that we get to see that.
Absolutely. I've made it well known that I'm not a huge fan of the grim dark, the Dark Knight. It's fine for what it is. I like goofy Batman.
And I
I
like
do.
serious comics too. Yes, but to what you said, goofy Batman is great.
Yes. And I guess maybe that has to do with me growing up with Adam West and that kind of thing. But those comics at the time too, there was a nice mix in the 70s. 60s, 70s, 80s, of there was a nice mix of Batman being having the darker edge, him
Right.
doing his Ra's al Ghul thing. But then there was also this, where he was just sort of window shopping in downtown Gotham at Christmas time. And do it and having a whirly bird and using his bat scuba gear. And that's fun.
And having Plastic Man just doing things a Plastic Man does. And you have mobsters who in 1979 are still represented as if they're like from the 1940s.
What you doing over here, boss?
Right. And they got gats. This is why we do the Christmas single issue episodes, is for comics that exist like this. It reinforces joy. And there's joy in this. It's dumb, but it's fun. And it gives joy for folks who have been reading comics for a long time or who are newer to it, and it gives them a context of like where comics came from versus where they are now. This is like one of my very favorite things that we've read, and it's completely inconsequential.
Not everything has
And
to
that's
be.
okay because it's enjoyable.
Well, not everything has to be world-changing, and not everything has to move canon in a certain direction. Sometimes it's just a silly story.
And this is what's
fun.
Great about Christmas comics or holiday comics in general. Even contemporarily, most of the holiday content, they're all very intentionally non-canon, just about joy and fun.
Right, yeah.
It gave me fuzzies. It filled my stocking.
It filled your stocking. It touched the doll in the right place.
It did. And there's no way that in 1979, Bob Haney, the writer, didn't know what he was writing.
Oh, absolutely. You can just hear the giggles as some of this dialogue is written.
So there's really no use in overanalyzing this.
There is no overanalyzing this, even if you tried. Anyway, I really like this, and it's fun.
Yeah. This is exactly what we want to do in this particular podcast every year.
So basically, just to sum this up, give this a read and just enjoy the wonderful goofiness of it. When we reconvene in the new year, Brian, what will we be reading? And wait, let me say that again without a squeaky voice. In the new year, what will we be reading, Brian?
So I went through various things, but I think I settled on Catwoman. And we're going to read Trail of the Catwoman. It's Ed Brubaker. It's Darwyn Cook. It's Catwoman. I've ignored DC for too long, which is my bread and butter. Let's do it.
All right. Love this. Love that choice. Catwoman in the new year. We'll be prowling into the new year.
We will.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Happy holidays. Enjoy yourselves. Have a wonderful new year. Until we meet again, be sure to keep reading comics.
And be well.
You've been listening to The Collected Edition, a comic book podcast. The Collected Edition is a Daddy Elk production. All materials used on the program are copyright their respective copyright holders, and no infringement is intended. If you'd like to give us your feedback, the show can be found online at our website, collectededitionpodcast.com, where comments can be left on individual episodes, or send us an email to comments@collectededitionpodcast.com. The Collected Edition, a comic book podcast, is for entertainment purposes only.